Can you hear me? I think so. It's working, but not in a loud kind of way. Anyway, I have a loud voice, so that's not a problem. So I'm happy to be here. I was here 4 years ago with everything that happened, and I gave a talk on foreign memory API, and it was an incubating API in Java 14, I think. And so I'm happy to be here now to talk about the foreign function and memory API, which is a finalized API in Java 20, in the upcoming Java 22 release. So why did we do this API? The main reason is that the landscape around Java application is changing rapidly. With the rise of machine learning, Java developers often need to do tasks that they necessarily didn't have to do before, such as talking to highly optimized linear algebra libraries that are not written in Java, but they are written in C, C++, or Fortran sometimes even. And the only way to reach to those libraries sometimes is just to reach into native code directly. So these libraries will not be ported in Java most of the time because they keep changing. So a new library pops up nearly every month with a new kind of idiom in order to do offloading of computation to the GPU. So how do we talk to native libraries in Java? We do that with JNI. How many of you have used JNI in this room? Okay, fair number, so good audience. You know, with JNI you can declare native methods. Native methods are like abstract methods in the sense that they don't have a Java method body, but they have a body that is defined somewhere else in a C file or a C++ file, and it can be C, C++, even assembly if you like to play with it a little bit. JNI is flexible, but it has a little bit of issues in the sense that it's what we call a native-first programming model. So it pretty much focuses on giving you access to Java functionalities from the native side of the fence. So when you write in JNI, you realize that quickly you are basically shifting all your computational logic from the Java world to the native world in order to minimize the number of transitions back and forth. And that can be a problem. There's also no, I guess, idiomatic way to pass data to JNI. Yes, you can pass objects, but that has an overhead. Sometimes a lot of developers end up passing longs as pointer, as opaque pointer that are stored in some Java objects, and that kind of works. So the problem with native function is, as I said, they never exist in isolation. They always have to manipulate some data, and this data is often off heap, of course. And there are not very many libraries in the JDK that allows us to do off-heap memory access. One of them is the Direct Buffer API. So probably you are familiar with direct buffers. They can be passed to native methods, and there are some JNI functions that allows us to, for example, get the pointer that is backing a direct buffer so that the JNI code can manipulate the buffer directly. One of the issues with direct buffer, perhaps the main one, is that there is no deterministic way to free or unmap a byte buffer. So if you are done using your off-heap memory, you basically have to wait for a garbage collector to determine that the byte buffer is no longer reachable from your application, and that can have a latency cost. There is also a problem in the addressing space. The byte buffer API was born in 1.4 time, so quite a few years ago, and we only use ints as offsets there, which means the maximum addressable space is 2 gigabytes.
Minus one, yes.
With the advent of persistent memory, these limits are starting to be a little bit tighter. Also, there are not many addressing options provided by byte buffer. Either we go on the relative addressing scheme, where basically we say put in, put in, put in, and we rely on a mutable index on the byte buffer to keep track of where we want to store the bytes, but that's low because we have to mutate some state, and then C2 optimization have a little bit more trouble coping with that. Or we go fully explicit, and so we put offsets everywhere in our code, and that makes our code a little bit more brittle. So this is what happens when you want to access a native library. You have a client, you have a native library, you have some JNI goop in the middle. What's inside the JNI goop? Well, a little bit of everything. There are some native method declaration in the Java code. Then if you compile this code using Java C-H, you have to use a special option which will generate the site headers file that you need in order to implement your C JNI function. So you go over to C, you implement your JNI function, you compile that function, that C file, with GCC or Clang, compiler of choice, you get back a shim DLL. This DLL is not the library that you wanted to talk to in the first place. This is just some extra glue code that you need in order to get to the library that you wanted. So now you have two native libraries, the one you want to talk to and the JNI DLL. And that's a little bit suboptimal. So what we need instead is a Java-first programming model, so something that allows us to reach into native functions directly, only using Java code. We also need, since we want to model off-heap memory in a more sane way, we need a replacement for the bybuffer API, something that is more targeted at the use cases that FFI has. So we want deterministic allocation, we want bigger addressing space, we want better ways to describe struct layouts so that we can access memory more easily. And also we want to tie everything together, so we want to define tools